Ocultar my spiritual growth. Hallelujah. Look who my spiritual growth. 6 years back. Hallelujah. So look who my spiritual growth. Are you to Bible? So open your Bibles. Let's start from Matthew 28. From verses 18. Matthew 28 from verses 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority. That's the word power. Right? That's the word power. Or all power, that's the word authority instead. That's the word exousia in the Greek. He's given unto me in heaven and in the earth. So go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 16. From verses 15. And it says, to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. And he that believes not shall be damned. And the sign shall follow them that believe. In my name they will cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they shall drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, with the Lord walking with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. In Luke 24. Quickly. Luke 24. From verses 45. And he opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And they said to them, toss it this written and toss it, behold Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sin the preached in his name amongst all nations begin at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. Hallelujah. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Hallelujah. In John 20, verses 22. John 20:22, he says, and when he said these things, he breathed on them and said to them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, I remitted to them. And whosoever ye retain, I retained. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, quickly. Hallelujah. Quickly, let's look at this. Hallelujah. So that will be, we said this will be Jesus' instruction. Right? So Jesus' instructions within the 40 days. Hallelujah. Jesus' instructions to his disciples within the 40 days. Because he taught them for 40 days concerning the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. He taught them concerning the kingdom of God. So in teaching them, he gives them instructions. Right? And I told us last week that instructions is the bedrock of discipleship, right? Right? You can't be a disciple and not be receiving instructions. Right? Well, that's what we said? Hallelujah. No, we're talking about spiritual growth. I mean, the local church, my spiritual growth, right? Now, you know, you can't be in discipleship and not be receiving instructions. You cannot separate them. Hallelujah. Remember what we read from the book of Proverbs? It said, you should take unto her, for she is thy light. And he was referring to instructions. Instruction is the live wire of discipleship. Hallelujah. We said that. So Jesus gave instructions. And the disciples captured that instructions in different forms. Hallelujah. Now, take notes. He didn't just give this, listen to me, everybody look up. Now, people tend to think that he just came one day and was teaching. I said, everybody go and make disciples. So Luke, John will now put it as, go and, Luke will now say, go preach the gospel of repentance and remission of sin. Back when I'm put with no. Hope you're following me. Now, each of them, I want you to look up, so that you don't miss it. Hallelujah. Amen. Hope you're following me. Teaching is a building block, right? And I want to show you something. Now, within that 40 days, look at what happened. It's not like Jesus said, go make disciples, and Luke will now call it repentance and forgiveness of sins. Mark will now call it go preach the gospel that believe and the baptized shall be saved. No. That's where there are summary of the 40 days teaching and the instructions within the 40 days. Hope you're following me. So that means within the 40 days, when Jesus taught them, he gave them instructions. Hope you're following me. Remember I showed you how they would write. They will write in what? In short forms. Right? They write in short forms. When you get to Matthew 22, let's look at Matthew 22. Let me give you an example of how they will write. In Matthew 22, verses 35, 36, they asked him, Master, that's the Father says, what is the great commandment of the law? And Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind. He said, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And this is the fourth and great commandment, right? Proton, Kai, Megas, Nomos. Okay, follow this. Eh? The fourth, Proton, Kai, Megas, Nomos. Now, that is the fourth and the great commandment. He now said, and the second, the two choices like unto reach. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Did you see that? On these two commandments hangs the law and the prophets. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's see how Mark will record the same words. Hallelujah. Let's open to Mark. So, verses 28. Mark 12, 28. Let's see this together. Are you there? Jesus, I love you. All of my home. I adore you. Okay, Mark 12. Look at verse 28. One of the scribes came, having heard him risen together. Look at verse 29. Verse 28. They said, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered and said, look at verse 29. The same thing, but look at how Mark will capture it. He said, the first of all the commandment is, yea, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. Is that? Now, when he uses the word, the Lord thy God is one, that is the word in the Greek, ikad, meaning he talks about unity. That gives cognizance to the Trinity. Obey following me. Right? The Lord thy God is ikad, that is, they function as one. Obey following me. And I said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Did you see that? And I said, and this is the first commandment. Did you see that? Eh? Now, if you go back to where Jesus was reading from, he was reading from Deuteronomy chapter 6. Now, when you get to Deuteronomy chapter 6, go quickly to Deuteronomy 6. What a way to start today's teaching. Deuteronomy 6. Okay. Jesus is Lord. Are you Deuteronomy 6? Are you there? I'm going to read. Look at where Mark picks this up from verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. Did you see that? And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Matthew will only pick verses 5. You see that? Now, why will Matthew pick 5 and Mark pick 4 into 5? It's because they were writing in summary. Okay, follow me. They are writing. So, what they want you to do is they are making you go back to read. Jesus didn't quote just verse 4 or verse 5. No. Jesus read everything. Okay, follow me. So that means they wrote in shorthand, like that, shorthand, so that you will go back and read everything. Did you get that? So they'll write in references. So that will be a reference for you to go back. So why Matthew will say, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, he's telling you go back to Deuteronomy. That is where it is written. They will not write Deuteronomy chapter 6 because the Bible was not written in chapters. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. So they will write it so that you know, oh, this is in Moses' book. So you go back and reread Moses. Hope you're following that.
So that shows you that the four Gospels, as we call it, points us back to what? The chapter 9 book, Genesis to Malachi. Hope you are following that. Hope you are seeing that. It points us back. It points us back. Glory to God. Glory to God. So they're writing summary. So that means what they have as the instructions within the 40 days will be summaries of all Jesus' instructions. Hope you are following me. It will be summaries. So Matthew will summarize Jesus' instruction as what? Make, raise disciples. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Mark will call it go preach the gospel. The same thing, right? It says go raise disciples. So go raise disciples will be a long hand, right? Right? Oh, sorry, that's a long hand. It should be a short hand for what? Raising disciples and what will happen in discipleship, right? So in raising disciples, you will preach the gospel. Hallelujah. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And we say if you read all through scriptures, because Jesus has been read from scriptures, you will discover that these are the instructions of scriptures when read together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that instructions or the instructions of scriptures will be given to man. We're given to man. So God wants his man. You see that? God wants his man to do what? To carry out his task in all the earth. What is God's task? Genesis 1:1. Right? Heaven in all the earth. Amen. How many of you recently have been enjoying? Okay, let me not use the word enjoying because I'm going to deal with that word enjoying today. So let me not use. How many of you have been finding reading your Genesis 1:2:3 easy in the past few weeks? You'll find, how many of you have gotten back to rereading? And you found that, oh, this is what it is, right? Hallelujah. I know you still have one or two things, what about this, what about this? Don't worry, you'll sort it out. It's step by step. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, but you'll be finding it's nice. You're no longer reading science. Ha, but that means man was Australopithecus africanus, because now before he now became Homo erectus into Homo sapiens. They are just not. Because this Bible is not the book of science. Hallelujah. I remember one year like that. We've not had a church. That was around 25 or 24. I ventured into bringing out Homo sapiens, Homo erectus, and Australopithecus africanus from Genesis. So how did you do? Don't worry. It's scientific. It was just nonsense. Hallelujah. Amen? Because the Bible is not a book of science. Hallelujah. Amen? I struggled with it, but thank God I came out of that. Hallelujah. Amen? Come on. Amen, amen, amen. Glory to God. So let's go ahead. So, you know, Paul will also put it as in 1 Timothy 2:4. He said, God will have all men to be saved. Did you see that? And to come to the knowledge of the truth. So, all men to be saved. Is that go preach the gospel to every creature, all the world, every nation, every tribe and tongues, right? And to come to the knowledge of the truth. Knowledge of the truth, would that be discipleship? Teaching them? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So very important. So when Luke tells us that Jesus read from scriptures, something you have to see is how did he read from scriptures? Because there is now, in the days of Jesus, what they had spoken was Greek and Aramaic, majorly. Right? Though they still had people that, I mean, they still spoke Hebrew because Hebrew was their native language. Right? Like today, some of you can't speak your native language. Some of you don't even listen. Some of you don't even hear it. If you ask Adama now, he'll tell you, I'm a universal man. You can't even speak Kaaba. Can you speak Kaaba? Are you from Kaaba? Yes. Can you speak Igala? Huh? Do you hear it? Anyway. Why don't people know? They remove their their native names that we don't know where they are from. You know, keep answering English names. What's your name? My name is Sammy Jefferson. Where are you from? I'm a universal man. My name is Victor Christian. Christopher. Where are you from? You can find this evening. You ready? Well, what's your name? My name is Benji. That sound Hebrewish. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I am universal man. So in the days of Jesus, they had their native language, which was Hebrew, but was not majorly spoken. What was spoken majorly was the Greek. And Bible was written in Hebrew. Now, take note of this. Not just the Bible was written in Hebrew. When I say Bible, I mean what Jesus had as Bible was Genesis to Malachi. Right? It was written in Hebrew. But he would have to speak in Greek to his audience. Hallelujah. And even within Hebrew, language has evolved from the days of Moses. We saw it in Nehemiah 8:8. Ezra read distinctly from the book of Moses, of the law of Moses, and gave a sense. Now to give a sense would mean he would have to interpret language. Hallelujah. So that means even within Moses to Ezra that they spoke fluently Hebrew, language evolved. Amen? And I told you that you cannot have Bible interpretation without language translation. You can't. Every Bible student is an interpreter. When you have a translation, KJV, NIV, RSV, they are all interpretation. And a Bible student is an interpreter. Hope you are hearing me. Amen? A Bible student is a what? Is an interpreter. So that becomes very vital. I must have to understand the language and interpret the language rightly. So that is what Jesus has to do. Hallelujah. Even Moses, I showed you that even Moses, right, had to interpret language to his audience. Right? That Adam is a Hebrew name. And we know Adam wasn't Hebrew. Abraham is a Hebrew name. And we know that Abraham wasn't Hebrew. Glory to God. So that means what Moses did to the children of Israel also is called interpretation. Translation. He had to translate the language for them to know. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Glory to God. Imagine someone comes up and says, my name is Ozom Madu. And you want to write, tell somebody that is from the native of Akwa Ibom. Amen. My name is Ozom Madu. Now, I don't want to tell a Yoruba person from Ekiti Pupa to tell her language people that Ozom Madu has come or that I am Ozom Madu. You know, when you tell them his name is Ozom Madu, they wouldn't relate with it well. Right? Remember, Abraham, the translation of Abraham is what? Father of all. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Okay, hear me. So that means, if she's to tell them my name is Ozom Madu, I'm telling you how you translate. You ask them, and you want them to relate with the name. You come and say his name is Ozom Madu because they are native of Ekiti Pupa. Right? So she would have to do what I call translation. She might tell them, she might not tell them my name is Ozom Madu, but she might tell, she will now translate my name Ozom Madu to them in their language. So the first thing you do is, what is the meaning of Ozom Madu? Right? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Some of you don't even know the meaning of Ozom Madu. My pastor says Ozom Madu. So what do you mean? Ozom Madu means Savior.
Okay, yes, yeah, he means Savior. One who rescues people.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
So you will not have to take it. You know, some people think it's Tai Chi. Oh, no, well.
That's your name, Tai Chi.
No. So, because she now knows his Savior, right? She will now take it to her language. Now, maybe now call my name, the name of his Savior. So, No, she cannot use it to teach them, right? Hallelujah. I want you to understand, that was what Moses had to do. Glory to God. He had to give people who were in Hebrew names, so that the children of Israel who are Hebrew will relate to the name. What are following that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen, amen. Uh-huh. So, very, very vital. Very, very vital that you see it like that. Now, Jesus will do the same translation. Why would you have to do translation? Just because of what I've told you. Language has evolved, things have changed. Right? Right? The same way in our day-to-day, there are some words you don't use. As in, you can't translate scriptures in our day-to-day. No! You will miss it. So you will have to go back and translate it. First of all, interpret it in their world. Right? I will interpret it first in their world. See what it means in their world, then apply it in my world today. Don't interpret scriptures in your world first. Interpret it in their world. See what it's talking about, then I cannot apply it today. Hope you are following me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We saw the use of the word homologia, right? People today will hear confession. Their mind goes to confession of sins. We saw that last week. But it's not talking about confession of sin. It's confession of what Christ has done to sin. Right? That is in the new birth. Right? Hallelujah. Go, go, go. So today we'll look at something else. Let's just take a look at something else. And I said in interpreting, you have to, first of all, we develop two for now. We'll pick up the others little by little in our WIMA class. Hallelujah. So, we said, first of all, you will have to sit in the seat of the first audience, right? No, first, yeah. Sit on the seat of the first audience when they first heard the word. And the word will not mean today what it never meant when it was written, right? Those are the two principles I will pick up in the Bible interpretation. So I'll have to sit in the seat of the first audience. So that means if the audience wrote, and Jesus wept, if he never meant what you are saying, using it to do today, as I when it was written there, it doesn't make any sense using it that way. Right? So it was mean the same thing it meant when it was written. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So what can't the Holy Ghost tell me something different from the Bible text? Different from what it has been written. This is the Holy Ghost interpreting it to me today. No. Amen? We said the Word and the Spirit agree. The Holy Ghost will not give you an interpretation that is different from what has been written. Glory to God. Imagine you go for an exam and you are given a comprehension, and an answer was there. And the question was given. Where was John going to? And in the comprehension you saw John was going to Paris. The answer is, The answer is, the question is, where was John going to? Or where is John going to during the summer? And he now wrote, John was going to Jerusalem because of ministry. And what was in the comprehension is Paris. And he said, no, what is in the comprehension is Paris. He said, no, this is the answer from the Holy Ghost. Will you pass it or will you fail it? You will fail it, right? Amen. So when it comes to understanding Bible text, you have to read it well first. Because the leading of the Spirit, listen, I'm going into a midweek study, but I want to show you. The leading of the Spirit is in the tenses of Scriptures. The leading of the Spirit is in the tenses of Scriptures. Don't miss that out. It's in the tenses of Scriptures. So I have to understand the tenses of Scripture, because a wrong interpretation of Scripture is, you mean, I will miss out in the leading of the Spirit. Oh yes.
Because if
the written word is the leading of the Spirit, then to wrongly interpret it is to wrongly follow God's leading.
What about leading?
Hallelujah. Go to God.
Someone interprets rightly.
So let's look at the word here today. Hallelujah.
Glory to
God. Let's look at something quickly today, which will be the use of the word in Genesis 2. Genesis 2. Are you Genesis 2? Look at from verses 18. And the Lord said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make a help meet for him. And out of the ground the Lord formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he would name them. And whatsoever Adam called every creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave name to all the cattle of the fowl of the air and every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took out of his rib and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man made he a woman, and brought her to the man.
Hallelujah.
Now, many people use this for marriage seminars. Very important. So some guys go ahead with the question, I'm looking for my missing rib. When you find a missing ring, you're going to say, this is my missing ring.
And the lady will have a flushing.
Missing ring, the guy is fair, you are black. How are you missing from that ring? Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, so you're looking for a missing ring, and the guy is straight, standing straight. If you have a missing ring, the guy should be bent. Maybe you should be marrying people like this. One rib is God. Come on, give yourself grace. Hallelujah. And the lady will not be happy. So I have found my missing rib, she will not be blushing. You are rib. All your school fees ended up in rib. Glory be God. Amen. But, you know, that is you interpreting it in your word today. Right? That is you interpreting it in your word today, missing rib. So you are literally thinking of a biological meaning, interpretation. Hallelujah. Biological interpretation. But what's God doing biology? But I've seen someone say, God is the greatest surgeon. He said, out of the man's rib, he formed the woman. Surgery. You are bringing out biology from Genesis 2. Moses wasn't writing biology. In fact, they asked Moses, were you writing biology? We tell you, what is biology? He doesn't know what biology is. The God was performing surgery. He said, so what? What's the meaning of that? Such what? He doesn't know what surgery is. So that means I have to look again, what is Moses writing about? If surgery doesn't exist in your world, and biology doesn't exist in their world in terms of what you just see. Cadaver doesn't, they don't know what is cadaver. Then, I must be interpreting my world into their world. So, come back again, let's sit in the seat of the first audience. Right? Right? And let us see what was Moses writing about. Are we ready to see that? Right? Are we ready to see that? So let's go in and see. First of all, when he uses the word when he uses the word help me, I will make him a help me. That is the word in the Hebrew, Ezer. E-Z-E-R, pronounced A-Y-Z-E-R, Ezer. That word is used 21 times in the Old Testament Hebrew, used majorly by the writer of the five books, which is Moses and the Psalmist. And those two never used it for anything different from God. They are used for God alone. In Exodus 18, verse 4, Exodus 18, 4, I'll run through few and give you the rest. Exodus 18, 4, it said the name of the other was Elisha, for God, for the God of my father, he said, is my help. Did you see that? The God of my father. So who is the help? The God of my father is my Izzah. That's what it means. God is the Izzah. In Deuteronomy 33, verse 6, make sure you're fast. Go behind time. Because you have a lot to look at today. Now, Deuteronomy 33, verse 6. Are you there? If you're there, I'm going to read verse 6. It says, okay, verses 6, verse 7, it says, and this is the blessing of Judah. And he said, hear the Lord, the voice of Judah, and bring him into his people. Let his hand be sufficient for him, and be thou one help to him from his enemies. So who will be his help? God will be his help. Verses 26, there is more like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heavens in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. Did you see that? Hallelujah. So he's used for God. In verse 29 of the same Deuteronomy 33, it says, happy are thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy Izzah. So who is the Izzah? God is the Izzah. Let's quickly rush through the psalmist. Psalm 20 verse 2. Psalm 20 verse 2. It says, send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Who? If we read verse 1, it says, the name of God of Jacob defend thee. Did you see that? So who sends thee help? Who is the help? The God of Jacob. Did you see that? Chapter 33, verse 20. Psalm 33, 20. It says, our soul waited for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Did you see that? Psalm 70, verses 5. It says, I am poor and needy. Make haste unto me, O God. Thou art my Izzah. Did you see that? Who is the Izzah? God is. Psalm 89. That's 89, verses 19. It says, Then thou speakest in a vision to thy Holy One and say, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of thy people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So who did that? The Lord. Look at verse 13. For the Lord is our defense. The Holy One of Israel is our King. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Psalms 115 verse 9. Psalms 115 verse 9. Hallelujah! He said, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking, what did I say? Verse 115, right? Am I reading here? Oh, I read Psalm 119. Psalm 115 verse 9, sorry. It says, O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is thy help and thy shield. You see that? Thy help and thy shield. Verse 10, in the whole house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is thy help and thy shield. 11, hear thou, fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is thy help and thy shield. Did you see that? Psalms 121. Verses 1, it says, I will lift up my eyes unto the heathen. For where cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord. Did you see that? Which made the heavens and the earth. Hallelujah. So God is the help. God is the Izzah. Psalms 124 verse 8. It says, our help is in the name of the Lord, who made the heavens and the earth. Psalms 146, the last and verse 5. Psalms 146 verse 5. He says, happy is he that has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord God. Hallelujah. So the Azar is used for God. God is the Azar. Never was a woman used. Never was a woman called Azar. The reason why I want to get married, because the Bible says it's not good for a man to be alone. You are not well. The alone there is referring to, it's not good for the earth to be without the heaven, right? So, I wanted to see what Moses is doing. Most of the things he said in Genesis 1, he further explained in Genesis 2 and Genesis 3. Okay, following me. So he says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. He now shows you what was happening in their world. What was happening in their world? Man was without God. Did you see that? So, listen, it's going to come out shortly. So man was without God. And that's what was God's plan. The Spirit of God comforting the gospel in their hearts when the gospel is preached. Right? Verse 3, when the man believes in man, let there be light. What will be that light? God is the light. Union, right? He repeats it in verse 26. Let's make man in our image. The same union. Is that temple language? Those are temple language. Let's make man in our image. Image is temple language, right? Right? Glory to God. Glory to God. Look at verse 27. And God created them in his image. Man and... So he now gets to Genesis 2. You now see man, it's not good for man to be alone. And you are thinking it's marriage. When he has told he made them male and female, it's not marriage. Hallelujah. Okay, following me. Don't be following me. It's not marriage. But I mean, man is not woman and man. No, that's not what he's talking about. Hallelujah. Though, when you now, the marriage, which is between a man and a woman, would now reflect this union between man and God. When he says it's not good for a man to be alone, I'm going to explain this truth right now. When he says it's not good for man to be alone, he's talking about it's not good for man to be without God, without a helpmate. What about lady? It's not good for a man to be unsaved. See how God sees you and says it's not good. Pray for ladies. It's not good for a man to be without Christ. It's not good for a man to be without salvation. It's not good. Hallelujah. As I have committed it in your mouth to preach the gospel. Hallelujah. So the Izzah is what? The Izzah is God, right? Hallelujah. And that is just Moses saying back what he had said, like I said in Genesis 1, 2, 3, Genesis 1, 1 into 3. Now look at verse 21 of Genesis 2. Quickly, verse 21. Look at what it says. It says, and God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. Now that word deep sleep is a word used for vision. Amen? Is a word used for vision. Deep sleep. It's a word in the Hebrew, tadema. Tadema is used for a vision. Used for a vision. You'll find that in Genesis chapter 12. Genesis 15, verse 12 to 13. Abraham was in a vision. And in the vision he saw his descendants. Is it that? God showed him his descendants. What will happen to them? So it's used for a vision. So that means, when I get back to Genesis 2, it caused man to fall into a deep sleep, or that he began to show him a vision. What am I following you? So when he begins to read, he cuts his side, he removes read, is a vision. Amen. So look up here. What is the read? Remember, something you have to see. Look up here. Imagine you are reading from Genesis and you see, and God gave him brain. Sure you will know, you know that if you read Genesis down to Revelation, you don't find anything called brain. Hope you know that. Because in their world, they don't know what is called brain. In fact, they believe they think from their stomach. That was the science of their world. God uses the science of your day. So the science
of brain never existed within that era. So that's why you find, and they began to think in their brain. Amen? When the Bible says, out of your words shall flow the rivers of living water. Hallelujah. Amen. There you go. So they believe that this is a true form. That was the science of their world. You don't know where science is going to. Science might move thinking to this piece next generation. What is brain? This is brain.
No.
Brain is just a mixture of cholesterol and some minor aminic acid that translates the reception to the feet. So it's the feet that receives. It's science. Amen? So God was working, when you see those things, you see that God was working with the science of the day, of their day. Hallelujah. Amen? Glory to God. Amen. So you cannot just say, no, you have to go to their world. Sure, you can see why you have to go to their world. Amen. Never, listen to me. Listen. Look up. Look up. Now, that word reads, I beg to tell you that the word ribs was never used for a part of the body in scripture. So you now say, and God remove ribs, and you're missing ribs. Sure, all right. Who's never used the Bible? Never used the scripture for the part of the body. So that is where you now calm down. You know, sometimes you hear something, you calm down and reread your Bible again. If it was never used for part of the body, so that means this rib, you know, going up and down, there's something wrong there. Right? So what was it used for? Rib. The word rib is used for temple. So that means what Adam saw in the vision was nothing but temple. Hallelujah. The same way you can't find the word bread in Genesis down to Revelation. Hallelujah. That is the eyes of your understanding is flooded with light. Okay. Sometimes you see everything lumped up into the heart. It's the heart. Right? Right? When the heart man believes unto my faith.
What do you use for
believing?
Is it your heart? Or your brain?
Your brain is for believing. What do you see? Everything is lumped up here and there. Where is your central processing unit? You have been like this to the body. Yeah, you have the way you're processing unit. So man, don't be surprised tomorrow. Some people say, my kidney which is here. You don't get it. So it's just the size of your world. And something you're going to see as you progress in the years is God will walk with your sign. Okay, God will walk with your science. God, you're going to see, you know, I told us, there was a time I told us that God accommodates. We'll see that in Revelation of God as we get into GPL out this day. Now, God will also walk with your science. That's what they have. God will walk with what is available to man. So, are they following me? Because God uses man. Man is God's masterpiece. So everything available to man is what God uses. Hallelujah. Yesterday we saw that God called for what? We saw that God called for what? Balm of Gilead. Amen? There wasn't God. Balm of Gilead. That was what they had as medicine. In our day today, God said, take vaccine. You know, I will never take vaccine. Vaccine is from the devil. And yet, your little baby, you took your baby to go and take immunization. Who is fooling whom? Hallelujah. So the deep sleep is actually a vision, right? And now that word, okay, now the word reads, okay, we're in the word reads, right? Reads is the word in the Hebrew, tesla, rather, tesla,
Is it 33 times? And over that 33 times, it was used 17 times by Moses. And Moses will use it all the time as a temple language. It is as a temple language. So when you hear the word temple, what comes to your mind? Everybody look up. When you hear the word temple, what comes to your mind? Temple, what comes to your mind? We are in the seat of the first sergeant. So when you hear temple, what comes to your mind? The worship? What comes to your mind again? No. Okay, God's presence, okay. What comes to your mind? Eh? Gathering. What comes to your mind? You are sitting in that seat. So what comes to your mind first is Egypt, and what happens in the temple where deity and man meet. That's the meeting point. I've told you that over the years. It's a meeting point between what? Deity and man. So in the temple, that is where they come to meet with deity. Okay, I'm following you. So when here is a temple language, so what comes to your mind is union. What comes to your mind is let's make man in our image. What comes to your mind? How are you following me? What comes to your mind is let's make man in our image. So that word reads. If you read Exodus 25 verse 12, you find it mostly in Exodus 26. But look at Exodus 25 verse 12. It has a concentration in Exodus 26. But look at Exodus 25 verses 12 and 14. You know what it says in verse 12? It says, "And thou shalt cast four rings of gold for it, and put them on the four corners thereof. Two rings shall be on one side." That word side is the word Tesla. Read. Read that. Read. "And the two rings on the other side of it." Okay, follow me. See, let me look up again. Apart from this Genesis account, no other place was Tesla written in the Bible. So what does that tell you? Is a translator's bias to use the Bible. What if the translator, if I was to translate it, and God took from the side? Is that not better? You won't be having thinking of ribs to the atom. Amen? So that means the translator interpreted it in his world. Hope you're following me. Glory to God. Amen. You guys are looking at me. Okay, let's continue. So look at verse 14. It says, "And thou shalt put the staves into the rings by the side of the ark." Side of the ark. That's the word. Side of the ark. Look at chapter 26. 26, 27, 33. Verse 20. It says, "And on the south side of the tabernacle." Did you see that? It is for tabernacle. On the north side, there shall be 20 boards. Did you see that? North side. Side. 26. It says, "And thou shalt make bars of sheeting wood. Five for the bars of one side of the what? Tabernacle." 27. "The five bars for the bars of the other side of the tabernacle." This is that it is a temple language. Verse 33. "And thou shalt hang the veil under the statues, and thou mayest bring it hither within the veil of the ark of the testimony. And the veil shall divide unto you between the holy place and the most holy." Did you see that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Chapter 27 verse 7. It says, "And the staff shall put into the ring, and the staff shall be upon the two sides of the altar and bear." You see that? So all the while you read that word Tesla, even into chapter 30 verse 4, chapter 36 verse 25 and 31, chapter 36 verse 32, chapter 37 3, 37 5 and 27, 38 7, it reads it in a temple narrative. So it's a temple narrative. Okay, follow me. So therefore, the vision of Adam was that he saw God's temple. And on God's temple, he saw two sides. This is that he saw the ribs. The rim should be the size of the temple. And what will make up the size of the temple? Genesis 1:27. God made them male and female, the two ribs. Did you see that? Hallelujah. So what will you find in the temple? The two ribs, male and female, created in them. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Which is the man and the woman. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So why did Moses have to write it like this? Moses was reading into their world, into their patriarchal world. Right? Right? How many of you have listened to that message, patriarchal? How many of you have listened to that message? Everybody look up now. How many of you have listened to that message on patriarchal? You have listened to the message on patriarchal. Feminism. Where is God? How many of you have listened to it? Let me see your hand. Patriarchal and feminism. Where is God? Everybody that is calling for women on your first class of women, your first day of women. It will be male and female, it will be men and women. Hallelujah. And it becomes very vital. So what Adam saw is actually what God is doing in the new creation. We have male and female in him. And the joining of the man and the woman will now be to reflect that image that we find in God. Going back again to our teaching in Matthew 28. From verse 16. Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in the earth. He said, go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the world. Hallelujah. So, in our teaching that we have been in since the past 6 weeks, we said that the background of this will be the local church. And in the local church, we said what will be the primary activity in the local church will be teaching. It's teaching them. Teaching them. And we saw that the word teaching is vital for our spiritual growth. We saw that, that teaching is vital for the spiritual growth of the believer. And we said it's the pastor's responsibility to teach. Hallelujah. It's the pastor's responsibility to teach. That said, last week we saw what do we find in teaching. We said what we find, what we have in teaching will be what? We will have instructions, right? Having instructions is a very vital part of teaching. Timothy chapter 3, quickly, from verse 16. 2 Timothy 3, 16. It says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So we said, when you use the word instruction in righteousness, it refers to spiritual growth. Hallelujah. We refer to spiritual growth. Not this. Spiritual growth is the end point of teaching, which teaching will have in 2 Timothy 4 verse 2. It tells the pastor to preach the word, the instant in season and out of season. It says rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Did you see that? Hallelujah. So let's see what Paul goes ahead to say about teaching. He said, for a time will come when they will not endure, talking about the people, they will not endure sound doctrine. Well, after their own laws, they will heap up for themselves teachers, having itching ears. Hallelujah. Having itching ears. So, something very important. He says this, mentions the word sound doctrine. Sound doctrine. The word sound doctrine is the word hoiano didaskalia. That word hoiano is what you find in 1 Timothy 6:3. 1 Timothy 6:3 is what means for wholesome. Wholesome. 1 Timothy 6:3. If any man teaches otherwise and concern not to the wholesome words of our Lord Jesus Christ and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. So it's used for wholesome words. Wholesome words. So when it's for sound doctrine, it means wholesome teaching. What makes it wholesome? Well, hallelujah. In 1 Timothy 1:10, look at how Paul says it. 1 Timothy 1:10. He says, for warmongers, for them that defy themselves with mankind, for man-stealers and liars and perjured persons, if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. So that means, listen to this, to sound doctrine. So it's called sound doctrine. Hallelujah. And in 2 Timothy 1:3, Paul tells us to hold fast to sound doctrine. 2 Timothy 1:3. He said, I thank God whom I serve. 2 Timothy 1 verse 3. With pure conscience, I'm sorry. 2 Timothy 1:13, not 3. It says, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and in love which is in Christ Jesus. Sound words. Do you see that? Wholesome words. So we have to hold fast to wholesome doctrines. Hallelujah. We have to hold fast. In Titus 2, 1 to 2, he tells that a bishop, a pastor must preach soundly, wholesomely. Hallelujah. So that word sound, hoidiano, is used in 3 John 1 for healthy. What is healthy? Healthy teaching. Hallelujah. Healthy teaching. Healthy sound. Wholesome, healthy teaching. So that said, let's go down and look at what does sound doctrine entail. What does sound doctrine entail? Hallelujah. When you hear the word sound doctrine, what does it entail? Remember we said, when you hear the word sound doctrine, first of all, Paul has told us in chapter 3 of 2 Timothy verses 16 that it entails reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. Right? Rebuke in chapter 4 verse 2, rebuke, reproof, exalt with all long-suffering and doctrine. Now, something you have to see about sound doctrine, what makes it sound is the fact that it involves repetition. It involves repetition. Repetition is a basis for spiritual growth. A child of God must be ready or must accept repetition from the teaching of God's word. Hallelujah. So that means there are things that must be repeated all the time. You can't come to church and want to hear something new. No. You must have repetition. Repetition is vital for spiritual growth. Okay, you're with me. Repetition is vital for spiritual growth. Look at how Peter will put it in 2 Peter 3, verse 6. Oh, let's have 2 Peter 3. Okay, 2 Peter 1, verse 12 into 13. 2 Peter 1, 12 into 13 first. He says, wherefore, I would not be negligent to put to you always in remembrance. Did you see that? In remembrance of these things. Though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Knowing shortly, as I put up my tabernacle, even as the Lord Jesus Christ has shown me. Say, moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my disease, to have these things always in remembrance. Do you see that? And what was that thing? He said, for we have not followed. Do you see that? Calling it divine fables. when we made known to you the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we are eyewitness of his majesty, we will see from the fire. So he was talking about the scriptures. So you must always be remembered. So repetition would mean remembrance. Hope you are following me. You must always be reminded. You must always be reminded. You don't outgrow it. You don't outgrow any part of scripture. No, you don't. Hallelujah. You don't outgrow it. You must always be put to remembrance. There must always be repetition. Hope you are following me. Hallelujah. There must always be repetition. In chapter 3, verse 1, look at how Paul puts it. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing first that they shall come in the last days scoffers, walking in their own lusts. Now, did you see that? So the reason or in repetition is for your remembrance. Hallelujah. I heard of a pastor, a minister that said he always teaches in his church every week justification by faith. Why? He said because he knows when they go, they will forget. So every week is the mindset that justifies by faith. Hallelujah. You don't get tired of it. Remember, I told you something. You can come to church and know what you'll be taught. You'll be taught about Christ. Hallelujah. You can know what you are going to be taught. You are going to be taught about Christ's resurrection. You are going to be taught about the teaching of the word. You are going to be taught about the instructions in the scriptures. Right? Come on. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's go further. Look at Paul. In Philippians chapter 3 verse 1. Philippians 3 verse 1. It says, finally my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Finally my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing to you, indeed is not grievous. But for you it is what? It is safe. Did you see that? It says, it is not grievous. To write the same thing is not grievous. Is it safe? So that means repetition is for your safety. When words are repeated, it's for your safety. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Are you following me? It's for your safety. It's for your safety. Glory to God. Repetition is for your safety. If you read 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 17, Paul writing to the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians 4 17. Paul writing to the church at Corinth, look at what he said. He said, for this cause I have sent to you Timotheus, which is Timothy, my beloved and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring to your remembrance my way, which is in Christ, as I teach everywhere and in every church. Did you see that? So, he said, Timothy will bring to your remembrance. So that means Timothy, what Timothy will teach will be a repetition of false teaching. This is that? Will be a repetition of false teaching. Paul will say to Timothy, he says, the word which you have heard from me among many brethren, he said, the same commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Okay, who will be able to teach others also. Very important. Hallelujah. Very, very vital. Glory to God. So repetition is vital. It's for your safety. A pastor normally, if I have to talk to pastors, a pastor must never assume. Okay, hear me. A pastor must never assume. You must always repeat things. And for the listeners, or for the members, for the hearers, for the believers, you must always accept repetition. Now we're going to see something. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at what Paul said where we just read from. In 2 Timothy chapter 4. Let's 2 Timothy chapter 4. We'll pick this up from next week because we'll still do more justice to this. Hallelujah. As we begin to get into what is spiritual growth really. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 4, verses 4, or verses 3. And then the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Did you see that? They will not endure sound doctrine. Now he uses the word endure because why? Sound doctrine will involve repetition. Do you see that? Sound doctrine will involve repetition. So that means you don't enjoy the teaching of the word. You enjoy. Because one, you will not be taught what you want to hear. No, you'll be taught scripture. Amen? Just before I left the house, I discovered that, okay, for example, I discovered that Toby and Musa, Nigerian girls, won 4x4, 100 meters relay, and she also won 100 meters hurdle. Now imagine I don't come and say, today, I'll be teaching you all how to be persistent in getting the goal. Can't you see Toby and Musa? How she was persistent. She started this at this point, Look at her now. God will crown her 40 success. I like what Pastor is saying. He's reasoning with what is happening to me. Pastor is just hitting it. No. You just want to hear something new. That there is that in every man to want to hear something new. But it is spiritual growth. You are on the path of spiritual growth when you have given yourself to repetition. Consistency. Okay, we're going to see that next week. Consistency. Hallelujah. We'll begin to approach what really is spiritual growth. Glory to God. What really is spiritual growth? We're going to approach it by next week. What really is spiritual growth? People hear spiritual growth. Spiritual. What is it? We will approach it. So you don't discover that consistency is important. Consistently hearing the same thing, doing the same thing, acting the same way. Hallelujah. That's why most time people look at us and say, we live a boring life. It's not actually boring. Because we are just consistent. Hallelujah. And everybody in school, people say, I live a triangular life. Room, hostel, church. Room, hostel, church. Room, hostel, church. Hallelujah. Room, classroom, church or preaching. Back to the room. You don't have time to go for club. You don't have time to go to toast women. You have time to go for... I don't have all this time. I have time to preach the gospel. I have time to hear the word. You'll find me in almost every seminar in church. In school. Every Christian seminar, I'm there. Hallelujah. I'm jumping from one, I'm entering the other. That is me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. So a time will come, he said, when men will not endure. So that means you don't enjoy the teaching of the word, you endure it. Hallelujah. You enjoy it, you mean you have to hear the same thing again and again. So enjoy it, you mean you've been hearing Matthew 28. Enjoy it, you mean when Pastor says Matthew 28, you open them. Hallelujah. When Pastor is reading Matthew 28, you are quoting it. Pastor is reading, you are quoting. You're not enjoying pastor. Hallelujah. I told you. Me, that is your pastor. Before I write Matthew 28, I'm always there. So I'm going to go to Genesis 1. I'll open it first before I write. I'll look at it again. Because I know I'm not just coming to stand in front of you. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. I must be diligent at what I do as your pastor. But I can sit down and just say, my Genesis 1, I know you talk that. I could quote it, but I'll have to open it. You see with my Bible at home, I'm looking at it. I'm rewriting it again. I'm looking at it. I'm checking it. I'm reading it. Sometimes I might want to write Genesis 2:18. I'll read from chapter 1 again to chapter 2 again. I do that often. I'll read again from chapter 1. Sometimes I want to write Matthew 28. I'll be with my Bible. And I'm reading again from Matthew 26. Reading the whole account again. Of how Jesus was taken. Sometimes I'll just learn and read. How about we don't want to? I said, let me even look at Luke.
I'm going to write Matthew 28. I said, let me even look at Luke's own again.
Let me just check out Mark. How Mark actually beautifully put it.
Is that I've not read before? I've read it. But still read it.
Hallelujah.
You must learn to embrace it.
Glory to God.
What is your life?
Amen.
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 Glory to God.
Yeah.
You must learn to enjoy it. Hallelujah. So that means spiritual growth cannot be found in excitement stage.
When you're always excited, you're yelling what say, you're not great.
That's in the excitement stage. Spiritual growth will not be found in the excitement stage.
No.
You can find it there. You hear that same thing you shouted for. Maybe after 50 times. We will not know whether you are still excited or not. Remember a brother like that, he came to meeting. After the first or after the second week. When I told, I love the teaching of the word.
Man, the teaching is just super. The teaching, the breakdown.
Is it me you want to psych? When I was done, he said, I want to be committed here.
I want to be committed here.
I want to grow spiritually here.
Sir!
I want to.
Sir, I want to be handling, was that I want to handle this department, I want to be handling this, I want to be committed.
I said, okay. Stay first. Come after 1 month. Stay 2 months. Stay about 6 months. Let's even watch you.
Abi?
Let's watch you. Let's see you listen. You know the first day you're just like, in the background of the word Matthew is the word is the word the local church. You know you're just saying the Matthew. You say the word Matthew is from two words Matthew. You don't hear the word didaskalia. You hear it the first week, second week, third week, fourth week. Can we see the year the beat? Amen. Yeah, the fifth week. I didn't know that was what the guy did, but you know, hearing the same thing over and again, if I not hear it once and now hear it another 5 months, week on week, I deliberately did it like that. Yes. Deliberately. Amen. And the moment I stepped, some of you will know, I passed. You know, so there was a time it was only, what do you think? Right? Maybe no, I know what I'm teaching, and we're talking about heaven and the earth. Right? Remember that time? Remember? There was a time when teaching is not water baptism, baptizing them. Did you remember that? Yeah, time. Sometimes I can say that word for 1 year, and I'm not tired of saying it. Glory to God. Pay for spiritual growth. Because I'm interested in you to grow. So you have said so well to you. So well that even in your dream, if any being appeared to you and say, this is his name, no, pastor said, you hear it well. Amen. Glory to God. And your consciousness asks you to prepare a note to come and preach somewhere. You start with Matthew 28. Hallelujah. That is, it's like that. Glory to God. Amen. So, you cannot be found. So that guy after a while, somebody that wanted, he didn't get to 3 months. That's how they skip him meeting. That guy, you know, he's ready, you will know. Amen.
After a while, he said he wants to travel out. Because somebody that wants to handle responsibility. After a while, I don't got to see.
Amen.
As also it informs us as pastors, don't be quick to make people leaders. Don't be quick. Watch people.
I watch people a lot.
Listen.
I watch people a whole lot. Hallelujah.
I do.
Sometimes I watch and I don't say a word. I watch a lot. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Spiritual growth is not in excitement stage.
Rather, it is in repetition. It's a repetition. Hallelujah.
As we close, look at what Paul said to Timothy that we'll pick up from next week. We'll start up from there.
He says, Saul.
It says, they shall turn away their ears from the truth.
This is that.
No, let me read verses 3. But then they are going to shall not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust,
that is to say, they want to hear new things.
Said they would heap up for themselves teachers having itching ears. The word itching ears means tickling, a tickling ear. They want to hear things that will tickle their fancy. The best is in you. You are the best that is in you. You are the best. You are the best thing that has happened to the world. You are not a photocopy. You are not a duplicate. You are the original you. Who is duplicating you before?
Nothing.
Hallelujah. Want to hear new things? Four ways of achieving success in your career and in your spiritual growth. One.
No.
No. Hallelujah. Watch your ear. Watch what you want to hear. Hallelujah. There you go. The things are going to start seeing. Hallelujah. There you go. Watch it. Watch it. Watch it. Watch it. Watch it. Hallelujah. Watch what tickles your fancy. Watch it. Nobody grows on a cycling stick. So past the cycling stick, you are now in the stage of repetition. There's a many with hip-hop teachers. With hip-hop teachers after their own loss. Having tickling ears. They want to hear new things. They want to hear things that will catch their fancy. They want to hear things that will sweeten their ears. I want to hear new things. But remember I told you, spiritual growth will not be found in the breadth of things. It will be found in the depth of it. So it's in the depth that you'll find repetition. Repetition will dig you deep. Repetition will bring to you depth of knowledge. It will not bring to you breadth, because spiritual growth is not in breadth. Fruit or length. Spiritual growth is in depth. Hallelujah. Is in depth. Know it and know it well. Hallelujah. Hope you're hearing me. Know it and know it well. Glory to God. Let's be on our feet as we thank the Lord.